Good evening, and it's great to be here this evening, and really, once again, I'm very grateful to Pastor Shala, Pastor Shebele. It's always such a different experience coming to this country for many, many, for many different reasons, but I'm very grateful to be here this evening, and greetings also from down south in South Africa. We keep in touch in many, many different ways. And on my mind this evening, because of also time, I have this thought. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. I have a thought about words, and it says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." And then in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, if you can turn the Bibles there. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 2 and 3. And the Word of God says, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few." And I love this this verse, and says, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words." Father, bless these words, we pray in Jesus' name. I was thinking about this, you know, especially in today, there are many different words, right? If you are on the social media, we have alternate news, we have all kinds of things. And people are using words and they're saying the same thing, but the meaning is different. So I'd like to speak about the definition of words and the meaning of words this evening. The way that I look at it is in this way. There are four different aspects of understanding words. And since we are here, we are ready to hear these amazing messages by many different men that God has appointed to speak to us. I think I would love us to just maybe be in this mindset of thinking of words. You have the actual definition of the word, number one, which explains, let's think about love, and love is explained many different ways as an intense affection, depending on what dictionary that you're looking at. And of course, we as Christians, we have a different understanding when we hear love. You know, we don't only think about the definition of a word, but we know also there's a person of love behind the word. So when somebody speaks, especially when a pastor gets up and starts to speak about love, we have a different image in our heads of what love is. And then there's a second part, and in the definition of the word, there's the person who's speaking about the word. All right? Now, if a pastor is speaking about the word, as we're going to be coming here and hearing about God's love, we have a different perspective altogether, and our ears listen differently. It's almost as if there were channels in our brains, we tune into a different channel and we receive the frequency of our reception is different from when, for example, a husband says to his wife, "I love you," or a mother says to the son, "I love you," or the child to the parent. There's a question of who, because that explains the relationship. We speaks about the authority behind who is speaking. We speaks about the influence, the history behind the person that is speaking to the recipient of those words. And thirdly, we have circumstances. Now you have the word itself, you have the person speaking, and then you have the circumstances around which the words are being spoken. For example, if a person is, you know, going through something very difficult, and a person comes and says, you know, "I'm praying for you," it's different from a person just walking, saying hello, and then nothing's going on, and somebody says, "I'm praying to you." When in those circumstances, the way that I receive the same sentence, it's different because of the circumstances. And then the last part of that is that the state of being of the recipient of those words. Now, the way that the person is that whether I'm in a good mood, whether I've gone through something hard, whether nothing is going on, the person that is receiving the words determines also the impact the impact of those words. And all these four aspects, then, can we can say they speak to the meaning. They give meaning to the word. So it's not just about the definition, but there is what the word, how the word is defined by words, but there's also the meaning of the words, which is encompassed in all these different aspects that I've spoken about. Now, in the portion of scripture that we have read, Christ speaks about the importance of how we make use of words. But not only that, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he speaks about a very important part of speaking words for us as Christians, that we are speaking words in the presence of God. That we're not just speaking words, but as the ambassadors, as the ones who have been bought by the blood of Christ in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20, that our words, although they are our own words, but our words are not our own words. That when we speak and we stand, like I'm standing right now, it's not because of my cool bow tie. It is, isn't it? Yes. I took it from Gerard in Utica. He liked my tie, and I thought to myself, I like your bow tie. I think the trade-off was unfair. I won, he lost. But, you know, who is speaking is important. Who is speaking is important. And if we think about that, the definition of the word, the person behind the words, the circumstances around the words, and for me as a recipient. And when we are gathered here together, we don't realize this, but all of this is taking place. It is happening in our minds as we speak. And there is a battle. There's a battle for our hearing. There are many words that are out there in the world today. And it is extremely important for us to not only be aware of the words that we are speaking, but also in the book of James, it's also about what we hear. In James chapter 1, to be careful of how we hear. So it's not just about what we're speaking, but it's about what we are hearing. And it is extremely important for us to also be aware of the state of our mind, the state of our spiritual being. Because I have this belief that we can only be as spiritual as we are connected to God. The extent of our spirituality, I find it difficult to believe that it can exceed our connection to Christ. I don't see how in the world we can be able to call ourselves with the spiritual, or say that we are doing spiritual things, and try to detach that from our connection to God. And in the same way, in the words that we speak, I don't see how the words that we speak and also the words that we receive. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul says, he never ceased to pray for the Thessalonians, but he says, what made him joyous, so excited, was the fact that when they were heard the word of God that came from him, they did not receive the word of God as if it was from a man, but they received the word of God as if it was from God himself. So they had a mindset where they were aware of the fact that God, he does use human beings in our frailty and the impeachment, maybe the stuttering in our speech. And for some of us, when we speak this foreign language of English, we have to think extremely hard for certain words before we say them. You know, it may not seem like that, but there's a word that always gets me. And whenever I have to say it, I've got to take a deep breath. And then I have to somehow in my mind think, recognition. That's a hard word for me. It kind of humbles me a bit when it comes to this language. But how important it is for us to be aware that God uses people like you and I. And at the same time, how important it is for us to be aware, both as recipients and both as communicators of the words of God. And we have to, I'm thinking like right now, as this time is coming, that we have that mindset of realizing that it is not by accident that we are all gathered here together. Maybe it may be different. I don't know. I'm just thinking that maybe for people that come very far, you think to yourself, you know, if I'm going to travel this far, it better be for a good reason. There better be a spiritual reason why I travel so far, you know, and you're on a plane for 18 hours and you subject yourself to all of these things. There's got to be, there has to be something greater than the trip itself. Maybe you're local, and it may be that, you know, it's part of your spiritual routine. It's a part of your spiritual ritual to come to church and to come and hear God's word. But how extremely important it is for us to have a state of mind that says, God is speaking. I have to listen with care, with caution. And as an ambassador and as the one that has been bought by Christ, when I do go out of these doors, when Pastor Shala says, speak to the person next to you and say something encouraging, to be mindful of the words of Christ that says every idle word is being spoken before Christ. And that is why that one, each one of us have to account for the words that we are saying to each other. But also, we are responsible for the words that we are receiving. And one of the things that I loved about coming to Greater Grace is that I received words that made me want to keep coming all the time. I was part of a different ministry. It was a big ministry, 5,000 people, orchestra, you name it. But when I walked into those doors with Pastor Manny, and there was this other young guy with this one guitar, and there were about 25 people, and it was in some other dodgy-looking place. Don't know if you got the... It was dodgy. It was not. It was, you know... And I walked in there with my wife then, who was still... We were not married, Beth, at the time. And with Pastor Ronaldo. I was like, okay, wow, this is interesting. Okay. But I remember the words. I remember that the grace, all of a sudden, was not a name of a woman. But grace had a different meaning. From that moment going forward, grace had a different meaning. That the love of God, love from that day moment going forward, and in my interaction with Pastor Manny and staying with Pastor Manny and Marley, and all the love began to have a different meaning. My interaction, the processing of my mind of the word when it's being communicated, became an experience different from the experience that I've had before. How important it is for us to realize that as communicating beings, that God is communicating all the time. And primarily for you and I, for our spiritual growth, God is using men, yes, even like myself. Hair or no hair, doesn't matter. But God uses us anyway. Amen? Amen. And I am excited about this coming weeks, and I'm looking forward, and my channel is tuned in on a different frequency altogether. It's the frequency of the Holy Spirit, amen? And in line with the message, I want you, if you get a chance, just read, thinking about this, read 1 Corinthians 2, 10 to 16, that the depth of the words, that like words can carry such a depth, or they can be empty. The Bible speaks about hypocrisy. And the question is, when Paul says that our speech has to be seasoned with encouragement and we speak to each other with spiritual songs and psalms, what words are we speaking? You know, is there a reflection? Is there a meaning behind the words being spoken and the life that we're speaking? Who are we to people? Who are they to us? You know, I hope I'm not putting any burden on anyone, but maybe just provoking a certain degree of expectation for the coming weeks. Amen? Thank you.
Good word. Thank you, Pastor. Very good. Refreshing. Wasn't it? It's good. It was great. Thank you. Love. That was a key word in what he shared. Love, wasn't it? love, God's love, spiritual love, God's love, Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love. Good word. Wow. Turn in your Bibles, please, with me to Ruth chapter 1, please. We'll move around a little bit in the beginning in our message. Ruth, and another verse, Song of Solomon. So we have to find the verses that when we turn there, we find them. Song of Solomon is another place. Can you turn your Bible simultaneously to two different places like I can? Okay. No, you can't. I can't either. One at a time. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 4. Verse 3, for the context, the watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw you him whom my soul loveth. So there were watchmen in the street. They're in the street. They are guards, watchmen, security officers, people protecting the city, maybe policemen. And she said to them, have you seen him whom my soul loveth? Have you seen him? This is poetry and a story, and it has a meaning for the believer's relationship with Christ. And we could say, have you seen Christ whom my soul loves? And then verse 4, it was but a little that I passed from them, that went beyond them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I went beyond the guards, the watchmen. I went a little beyond them, and I found him. Now, I always use this as a reference for our faith. Reason is guarding, and I go beyond reason, and I find him. This is our love life, our devotional life, our worship life, our missionary life. A missionary who is saying, I'm leaving my home. I'm going to a place where they have not heard about Jesus or know about Jesus, and I have it in my heart to tell them about him whom my soul loves. I have love in my heart. I want to tell them about God and his love. This is one reason why I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to do things amongst us in these weeks and through the summer and the coming years. I honestly believe we are in a covenant relationship with God, and God has decided things about us that really we are unworthy of them. We do not deserve them, but they are ours. It reminds me of the story of Isaac and Rebekah in Genesis 26. Follow this with me. You're good listeners. Okay, so the Holy Spirit is speaking to our hearts. Isaac and Rebekah were in the promised land, and there was a famine. And when there's a famine, you go find food. But God said to Isaac, don't leave. Stay here. I will take care of you. So he stayed in the promised land. The Philistines had their armies and their kings in the land. And when he was there in an area which was governed by Philistines, they were interested in his wife. And he said, She is my sister. And then, after some time, the king looked out the window and he saw that he's playing around with Rebecca. And he goes, she is not his sister. Nobody plays with his sister like that. This is your wife. In the story, you would say, Isaac is in trouble. He isn't. He isn't in trouble. Because God has a covenant with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I like that story because I feel body life is when we are with each other in a relationship that is a lot of fun. Just like when Isaac was having fun with his wife, how relaxed they must have been and how he is treating her like his wife and being with her and so on. And I think the mystery of the fellowship is like this in the body of Christ. People miss it when they don't have it. We miss our relationships that are more than, strictly speaking, in that story, she is my sister, but it's more than that. It is the love of God, the body of Christ, the mystery of faith. It was a little that I passed by the watchman and I found him. We must pass beyond our reason, our personalities, our homes, our own desires. I am so thankful for people that have kind of reverse homesickness. I am homesick for the mission field. I am homesick for the place that God put me. I am homesick for the calling that God has for me in my life. I yearn for that joy, that fellowship, and I know that I'm in a covenant relationship with God, and His love does not fail. It draws me. It draws me beyond myself. It draws me beyond the normal or the average, or just being a homemaker, which is a great blessing. And we that live here in America have our homes, and we are very thankful. And we have them for a period of time. But more than a home, we have a mission. More than the watchmen, we go past them a little bit, and we find him. Another part of that story in Genesis 26 is that there were wells that were dug by Abraham, and the Philistines had clogged them up. And I was meditating on that today. Why would you fill up a well of water? You have a desert or a piece of land, and you don't want water there. Why don't you want water? Because I don't want people there. I don't want livestock there. I don't want anything growing there. So they may fill up the well. And I believe that is something like the devil. He is like saying, you cannot come here. I don't want any Christian people here. I don't want any message. I don't want any gospel. I don't want any Bible college. I don't want any day school. I don't want to have any church here. So they clog up the well. But it says that Isaac redug the well. The name was Esek, and there they got in an argument. The well was called Quarrel. Esek means quarrel. The next well he redug was Sitnum or Sitna, and it means accusation. And then the third well, Rehoboth, and it means wide open spaces, because nobody was there fighting with him. He redug the well, and there was a quarrel. He redug another one, there's accusation, and then he redug another one, and it was wide open spaces. That's another thing about going beyond the watchman and finding God. You find, whenever you find God, you find wide open spaces. Whenever you find God, you find His grace is with you. When you find God, you also find people that are hungry for God. When you find people that are hungry for God, there's like water in the land, palm trees and an oasis and cattle and camels and possibilities. This is missions. And I am so happy because I believe that many people in our ministry who are called to missions have found the faithfulness of God in other lands, in other places. And we found the joy of having a Bible, dragging the sound equipment. I remember we had to bring all our sound equipment by train and bus and then set it up, and three people came, and then we had to break it down and bring it all back an hour later and get back home and put the sound equipment away. But I never had more joy in my life than when I was living by faith and sharing the gospel wherever God puts us in His plan. Because just like with Isaac, God was with him. And just like playing around with his wife, like this was the real relationship that he had. He had joy in the midst of a desert. He had a purpose that God was with him. And then it says he was multiplying a hundredfold beyond the Philistines. And the Philistines said, you know, we're afraid of you. You are better and greater than we are. We're afraid of you. We got to make a covenant with you. And so he dug, as they were talking or they made the agreement, his servants came, just like to add more to the whole thing. His servants said, we struck water. We struck water. And so he called the new well Beersheba. It means the well of an oath, or the oath well. He is saying, you cannot stop the blessing that is happening in my life. You cannot shut it down. I will be blessed wherever I go and whatever I'm doing, because God made a covenant with my father Abraham. And this is the promise. And we've seen 4,000 years of Jewish history where we can say there's no question about it. This is a race of people. And in this race of people, there is something that God has ordained for them in His divine purpose. Well, let's shift now to us Gentiles who are born again, that God has made a covenant with us through Jesus Christ, a new covenant with spiritual blessings, that we find joy and peace and purpose and God's love in our heart. And He sent us into the world, into parts of the world through our 2,000 years of history. And He's saying, lo, go, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Charles Spurgeon said, that is a factor of infinity that is added to all the factors of life. Go into the world. I am with you. Infinite God, I am with you on the boat when it sinks. I am with you in prison in Burma. I am with you in a desert when you're dying of thirst. Add infinity to all the factors of life, short life or long life, difficulties or not difficulties. But I am the God that is sending you, and I am sending you with my blessing, my authority, my covenant, and my purpose. And my purpose is world missions. My purpose is that every people group in the world would have a church. Everybody in this world would have an opportunity to go to a Bible school and learn the Bible. Everybody would have a choice of, if you will follow me, you will be my disciple. And I will bless you and pour it out upon you regardless, because I am God. Let's close with this Ruth story, which I asked you to turn to in the beginning. And it's Ruth chapter 1. I'll read this one part before we read that. David Livingston, 1857. He said, I have not ceased to rejoice that God has appointed me to such an office. People talk of the sacrifice I have made in spending so much of my life in Africa. Can that be called a sacrifice, which is simply paid back as a small part of a great debt owing to our God, which we can never repay? Is that a sacrifice which brings its own blessed reward in healthful activity, the consciousness of doing good, peace of mind, a bright hope of a glorious destiny hereafter? Away with the word and such a view, as with such a thought. It is emphatically no sacrifice. Say rather, it is a privilege. Anxiety, sickness, suffering, or danger now and then, with a foregoing of the common conveniences and charities of this life, may make us pause and cause the spirit to waver and the soul to sink. But let this only be for a moment. All these are nothing when compared with the glory which shall hereafter be revealed in and for us. I never made a sacrifice. I beg to direct your attention to Africa. I know in a few years I will be gone, but this country is open. Do not shut it again. Go back to Africa to try to make an open path for commerce and Christianity. Do you carry out the work I have begun? I leave it with you. When you read about missionaries like these people, 19th century, they say Latouriette, this scholar on missions, said the greatest years of missions in the history of the world was from 1800 to 1914. What happened through missionaries that went out with love in their hearts. And I want to use Ruth as an example here in chapter 1. It says, Ruth said, verse 16, entreat me not to leave you or to return from following after you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw she was steadfastly minded to go with her, she stopped speaking unto her. We said this the other night. People are talking about, I want to find my place. I go to the church, but I can't find my place. Or I'm in a mission, or I can't find my place. Or I'm in the Bible school, I can't find my place, and so on. And we understand this whole idea as people. But you have to have another mind about that issue. I have a place. God has put me in the body, fitly framed. I have a place. It's so easy for relationships to be broken when we judge those relationships based on if I fit in, or if people accept me, or if I feel comfortable there, or if there's some chemistry at work in my life with other people. I don't believe in that. I've never felt warm and fuzzy about many things that I have done. I think Jesus on the cross, that was his place. But I'm sure he didn't feel warm and fuzzy about that thing. And with his disciples at different times, how long do I need to be with you? Don't you get it? Don't you understand? You're the only guys I've got. You're the only guys I've got. And I need you to kind of pass beyond the watchman and find me. I need you to go beyond the status quo. Like, you can stop here with all the chatter and the talk and go back home and say, it doesn't work for me. But no, it has to be something of another nature. I have a determination and a focus and a commitment. I make a commitment. I'm committed to God. I'm committed to what love is. I'm committed to Naomi. And as she said, don't tell me to go back home. I'm not going back home. I am going with you. Wherever you go, I am going. Where you die, I'm going to die. I'm with you. This is body life. It's Isaac sporting with Rebekah and the king seeing, well, wait a minute, what's going on? This man is behaving strange with his sister. That's not his sister. There's something else here. And that must be seen in our lives and in our church life, where you find that, no, these people have God in their presence. It isn't about the people. It's about God is in their presence. No, they are dedicated even to the death. They go to Arabia like Samuel Zwimmer and this man McKay from Uganda. I have a quote from him also I want to share with you. I'm just getting going here, but I want to wonder where it is. Yeah, I got it. When McKay of Uganda was pleading for mission to the Arabs of Oman, this is where Pastor Mati is living, half a dozen young men, the pick of the English universities he needed, lion-hearted veteran, this man was of 66 years on the mission field in Arabia. It was the glory of the impossible. In Muscat, on his deathbed, he said, if I can get no faithful servant or guide for the journey into the interior in dealing with the Arabs, then he would do this and do that. And it was very hot. And he said, you know, he needed a place to be and so on. But he said, I will never give up. I shall not give up anything and everything for the Arab people because of God's love, because of the devotion he had in his own heart, because of his attitude about the gospel, about the need to bring the message of Jesus Christ to people who do not know about it. This kind of mystical relationship that Ruth is finding with Naomi, and I like this part, it says Naomi didn't talk as they walked back to Bethlehem, Judah. And I think there's something to say about that. Some people could say to Jesus, Jesus, if you're asking me to do these things, then I'm not going to follow you. And what is Jesus? Doesn't talk. That's your call. That's your decision. I'm not going to compel you. I'm not sitting down and arguing a case. If you will lose your life and if you will follow me, then you will gain your life. You will gain a country. You'll gain a nation. You'll dig a well. You'll redig a well. I'll bless you 100-fold. I'll take care of you. I will carry you. The infinity is added into all these human factors. Lo, I am with you always. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is nothing short of our calling and our purpose. And yet I am so sorry, so sad to say that it is easy for us to become domesticated, for us to become status quo, for us just to have our things the way we want them to be, and to be crying and whining about how I don't belong or I don't fit. No, you fit. God has fitted you in. God has made a covenant with you. You are very honored by God. You are anointed of God. You have the Spirit of God on your life. Lift up your eyes, pray to Him, and trust Him. Go a little beyond the watchman, and you will find Him. Live in faith and enjoy it. And consider these next few weeks as a time of spiritual focus and concentration on the deeper things. And if you find yourself in a group of people that are just talking and chatting and maybe somehow discouraged or critical or something like this, then just say, I am not here to be a scatterer. I am here to be a gatherer. I am not here to discourage people from their calling. I want to gather them unto Christ and encourage them in the faith. I'm not here to be artificial. I realize that, and life is sometimes difficult and challenging. But let us find Christ at the cross. Let us find edification as a way of life and thinking. And let us follow Naomi, even if we get no encouragement. And as they got back to Bethlehem, Judah, they sat down, they started to gather. Boaz was there, and Naomi got the idea, you should hang out with Boaz. Ruth, hang out in Boaz's field and be there with Boaz. And it worked out. Time happened. Romance happened. The whole thing turned out to be a wonderful story. A beautiful story of faith, poverty and difficulty, but a commitment. If I make a commitment, I will find myself connected. If I find myself like saying to God, God, help me and lead me beyond myself, then I'll not live in my troubles, personality, and my own way, but we'll find Jesus in it. And who knows, maybe he will speak to you and say, I need you to go here or there and bring the gospel and take it to people that need to hear who I am. Okay, I think this will be happening, and we are thankful for that. Okay, would you pray with me, please? Father, we are looking at these people that have come here with just appreciation and respect for you. You are with them, with us. As we know, we are all missionaries wherever God puts us. And to sit with our neighbor and to be kind and listen to them and have a heart of love for people, this is our mission, and it's happening here all through the year, every year. A lot is happening through love. We ask you would speak to us in a fresh way these days. Prepare us because we are in the end times. We don't want to live in frustration. We want to live in love. We don't want to look inside. We want to look outside, walk by faith in you. We are your anointed people in a covenant relationship where you have promised us spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Really, things can melt away when you're serious with God. Follow him with all your heart and you make commitment. I'll be at the church. I make a commitment. I will speak in a loving and edifying way. I make a commitment. I will learn to live by faith in you. I make a commitment. I want to hear from you, God, fresh. And you lead me in it. Jesus, I want to learn to be sharing love with people and words. I make a commitment to that in my heart. It was little that I passed beyond the status quo, and I found him whom my soul loves. Jesus, thank you. Listen, these days, Lord, our convention, our time leading up and after, Lord, those that are watching on the internet, draw them here to be on our property. During these days, we welcome everyone to to come and be with us and seek Jesus, and we will find him. Maybe some that are not in this church, but they are listening. Let us seek Christ. Let's go a little beyond the watchman and find him whom our soul loves, and be encouraged, restored, healed, edified. Bless these days, God, in Jesus' name. And anyone here is not a believer, tonight is your day. Today is your night. This is your time. This is the day to believe. Trust in Jesus with all your heart. In Christ's name. Raise your hand if you're asking Jesus in your life tonight. Say yes to Jesus. This is so anointed time here tonight. Thank you, Lord. Anyone at all, raise your hand. There's a hand over there. Thank you, sir. There's a hand. God bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to just say one last thing. We have our golf tournament on Monday. At the lunchtime, there's a generous offer to the missionaries and visitors from Africa and other places to have lunch together. And we give a message that's at the Maryland Golf, whatever it's called, Country Club. And so that'll be Monday, and then at the lunchtime there. And then for all the golfers, you are most welcome. I had to make sure you got that down. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me, please?